Hello and welcome, Breakthrough Success listeners. I'm your host, Mark Guberti, and this is the podcast where you'll learn how to achieve the breakthroughs you've been looking for in your business and life. If you want to grow your content brand, you'll definitely want to add my latest book, Content Marketing Secrets, to your reading list. This book will teach you how to create, promote, and optimize your content for growth and revenue. You can get your copy at Mark Guberti, that is Mark with a C, so markguberti.com/book. And now, let's dive right into the show. For episode 75 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast, we are going to talk about using Facebook ads to expand our content's reach with our guest, Gavin Bell. Gavin is a Scottish entrepreneur, vlogger, and speaker. He runs Blue Cliff Media, which is a Facebook ad agency. He is often regarded as one of the world's leading Facebook advertising experts, and I know that you guys want to hear a lot about using Facebook ads, so without any further ado, it is my pleasure to welcome Gavin to the show.
Hey Mark, thanks for having me.
Gavin, it's a pleasure to have you on the show, and before we go deep into using Facebook ads to expand our content's reach, I'd love to get some background. So what really got you started with Facebook ads, and when did you start seeing their potential?
Sure. So a little bit, but my backstory is I'm from a place in Scotland, a place in the UK called the Shetland Islands, which is a really, really remote part of Scotland. It's a group of islands with 20,000 people that live there. And I grew up there until I was 18 and decided to move down into mainland UK to study a business academy. And it was there that I set up my first business, where I was working with personal trainers to put them into corporate environments, running kind of corporate well-being programs. And that business, although I felt like it was a good idea, just failed to take off, and wasn't able to make it work. And then kind of during that business, I had a lot of great relationships with personal trainers, and I realized that they were terrible at marketing themselves. So they were going after the person that just wanted to lose a little bit of belly fat, but their Instagram was all six-pack abs, broccoli, rice, chicken. The message that they had there, the message that they were putting out, didn't resonate with the audience that they were going after. And so I decided to help these guys with their marketing. And that kind of slowly moved into me offering social media management services. And during that, started kind of dabbling with Facebook ads with clients. And then fast forward probably 6 months, I realized that there was nobody in the UK that really owned that Facebook advertising space. And that's when I decided to go all in on Facebook ads and go for it. Had seen some amazing results with clients just as I was dabbling with it. And yeah, that's what I did. Fast forward 2 years, I now work with some sports teams here in the UK, some brands across the world. And I guess I kind of saw the results that Facebook could have just in those early days, when I was spending like £1 here, £2 here, $5 a day, $10 a day with small clients, just trying little things, using their money to learn, really. Saw some amazing results with that. And then that's kind of just amplified with the larger clients, with the larger spends, with the more that you can do with them, really.
Gavin, thank you for sharing with us some of that backstory. And obviously, those big brands, they could have some really budgets that you could go crazy with, like the amount of money that you spend in comparison to some of the people when you're starting out. And obviously, the page that you lead people to with the ad plays a big part in how much revenue you make. And with that in mind, and these companies throwing big budgets into their advertising campaigns, what exactly are they focusing on when they promote? Are they focusing on like a landing page? Do they focus on promoting free content? What is the focus on what these brands tend to promote?
Sure. So the first thing I'd probably say is, when it comes to Facebook advertising, if you ignore the technical, how do we do these certain tactics, is very, very simple. It's marketing 101 is the right message to the right person at the right time. And Facebook allows us to do that all within the platform. And so the big brands really aren't doing anything different to the small brands, especially when the ones that are doing it right. And the ones that are doing it right are the people that are able to say, this is our core audience. Who are we targeting? And if you know that, if you know exactly who you're targeting, I can guarantee you Facebook will have some functionality in their targeting capabilities that you can get your ad in front of those people. Then you've got the content side of things, which is, what do people want to see? And this is where I see a lot of businesses failing, is because they feel like because they're putting money into something, they deserve, and they're romantic about getting money back out of it, out of the machine. But it doesn't work like that. And we need to think about how the people on the other end of these ads are real human beings, real people. And we need to ask ourselves, what mindset are they in, and what do they want to see? We're all consumers on Facebook ourselves. So what do we expect to see when we go on Facebook? And the last thing that we want to see is somebody trying to sell their product or their service. So you mentioned a free product is one of the tactics that we can use to effectively, what we're doing is build a relationship with someone. If I kind of pose the scenario of this happening in real life, you go to a networking event, everybody's sat around the room having a drink. Somebody comes up to you and shakes your hand, tries to sell to you there and then. You're not interested in that person. But if someone comes up to you, is engaging with you, maybe helps you with a couple of questions that you had and provides a bit of value up front, and then maybe down the line they give you some more free stuff, you're much more inclined to work with that person because they've taken the time to build your trust, to build that relationship. And Facebook ads work the exact same way. The brands that are getting it right are the ones that understand who they're targeting and are giving people what they want on the platform, which is good, engaging, relevant content.
Gavin, thank you for sharing those principles on basically deciding what we should be promoting on Facebook, and that idea of how Facebook allows us to so easily send the right message to the right people at the right time. And I'd love to go a little deeper into that phrase, more of the how-to side. So with Facebook, they have a lot of optimization that allows you to reach the right people. So how can we send our ads to the right people?
Sure. So the thing that I would be urging everyone to do is to have a look at what's called custom audiences. So your custom audiences are groups of people that have already had a touch of your brand. And to give you some examples of that might be your email lists. So you might have a list of customers, you might have people that have signed up to your newsletter. We've got website traffic audiences. So everyone here has probably been to Amazon or ASOS or one of these websites, looked at something, looked at a dress or a pair of shoes, and that ad has followed them around the internet. So we can do the exact same thing with our own website on Facebook. We've got people that have watched our videos on Facebook, people that have engaged with our page on Facebook. These are our custom audiences of people that have had a touch of our brand and are therefore, hopefully, trust us a little bit more than if we were to just serve our ad out to cold people. So what we want to do, rather than just looking at it simply as we create an ad, we send it out to people that have never heard of us before and hope that they take the action, is we actually want to create what's called a funnel, which is a kind of a multi-step process or flow that people go through before they take the action that we want them to take. So to give you an example of how this might work in practice is, when we're serving an ad out to someone that's never heard of us before, we might do that based on interest-based targeting. So we say we want to target people that are interested in X. The best way to do this is to think about the things in your industry that people that you're trying to target would know about that no one else would know about. So let's say you've got a fishing product. You're trying to sell something in the fishing industry. Who are the people? So who are the authors in the fishing world? What are the magazines called in the fishing world? Who are the influencers in the fishing world? Because if someone's interested in fishing, they're probably going to know the magazines. They're going to know the big fisher people. They're going to know the authors in that space. But anyone outside of the fishing world probably doesn't know who those people are. And so when we're targeting the people that are interested in those things with their ad, it's going to be much more relevant than if we were just to go out and say, I want to target the interest fishing. So that's what we do. We take that audience and we send those people something for free. So it might be a free blog post. It might be a video, a training video, something that they're going to find interesting, relevant, funny, entertaining, informative. And then once those people have engaged with that piece of content, maybe they've watched the video or they've clicked through onto our website, then we can retarget those people. They're in what we call one of our custom audiences. So we can say, I want to target people that are in, let's say for the example, they've watched our video. We can then retarget people that have watched that specific video with another ad. And we can say in that other ad, hey there, thanks for watching our video on XYZ phishing. We thought you might be interested in this product. And the people, because they've already watched that video of us and they already hopefully have built a little bit of trust, we've built a little bit of authority with those people. When we serve an ad to them saying, thanks for watching that video, here's this product that you might be interested in, the chances of that ad succeeding compared to if we were just to say, I want to serve this ad to people that are interested in phishing, is the chances of it succeeding are much, much higher. And so I think it's important to, first of all, understand what people are interested in, what mindset they're in, what they're using Facebook for, but also to try and build this relationship with people by using our custom audiences, by trying to drive people into our custom audiences. And then when we're asking people to take a commitment, whether it's give us their email address or to purchase something from us, rather than going to people that have never heard of us and quite frankly don't care who we are, we're actually asking the people that are closest to us. So the people that have already taken some action with us or already engaged with us in some fashion.
Gavin, I really love that insight. And I mean, I feel like funnel is a term that we commonly just apply to when someone subscribes to their email address, they're in a list, they get put into a funnel. But you're using Facebook ads to create a funnel that shows people ads based on how much exposure they've had to your brand. And I find that really amazing. And I could definitely see how this would be profitable if you're able to have some type of revenue optimizer in there. But I was wondering if you could go more into detail about how we can make our ads and this exposure that we get from them profitable so we're not spending more than what we're making.
Yeah, 100%. So I think Facebook ads are firstly an amazing brand awareness game. So just to touch on the last thing that you said, it's amazing what you can do in terms of you can get people to say things like, oh my word, you're everywhere, you're always on my feed. It's very simple to say, for example, you watched this video, so I'm going to retarget you to my next video, retarget you to my next video and my next video and my next video, and just keep that going forever. And people will see every single video that you ever produce. And when you start to do that, those people then start to become raving fans of you, as long as they like your content. And when you put something in front of a raving fan, they typically buy it. So I've got a client, Scott, who's a prime example of Facebook advertising and how you can make it work for you. Scott's a YouTuber. He's got 500,000 subscribers and has been producing content around the bass guitar niche learning the bass guitar niche for roughly 8 years or so. So he's built up a very big audience. And on Facebook, we're essentially what we're doing is we're just amplifying what's already working for him. So we will send out his bass guitar lessons to people that have never heard of Scott before. And then we'll retarget the people that have watched those lessons and ask if they want to download a free toolkit, which is a free download. Some people might have heard of it as what's called a lead magnet. And then we retarget the people that have engaged, downloaded that lead magnet to get a 14-day free trial of his membership site. And his membership site is a front-end offer of $170. And we're acquiring new customers at around $17. So we're getting a massive ROI there based on that little funnel that we're doing where we're bringing people in, retargeting them again, and asking them to join his membership site. And we can, with all the different tracking technologies that you've got, so there's a tool called the Facebook Pixel. I say it's a tool, it's a piece of code that goes onto your site. And it allows you to create these retargeting audiences, but it also allows you to track your campaigns to see how well they're doing. And that's how we're able to see in Scott's campaign how we're getting a $17 cost per acquisition, because Facebook is tracking the people that have seen the ad, gone to his website, and then purchased his product. And going back to Scott, it's not just that membership site that we're getting that really good return on investment. It's also anything that Scott ever goes to sell, whether it's a bass guitar strap or a course or whatever it is, because he's got this massive audience that he's continuously building, So he's got the infrastructure in place. He's creating the content. We're getting people in, building that relationship. Whenever Scott sells something, it sells out straight away because the people that follow him have followed him for years and long enough that they love him so much that they'll buy anything from him.
Gavin, thank you for going really deep into those insights about making Facebook ads profitable. And another way to make ads profitable, and this is just ads in any cases, you can generate more revenue, which we just talked about, but you could also cut expenses. So achieving the same results, but less money being paid out each day to Facebook. So how can we optimize our ads for lower cost per conversion, whether conversion means email subscriber or click, while still reaching our targeted audience?
Yeah, sure. So we've done this recently with a chiropractor in the States, actually, who was spending around 15K per month on ads. And we have achieved the same results for him at around 3K per month. And that's purely by his strategy before was simply putting posts out on Facebook and boosting them for like a thousand bucks at a time. Whereas we've come in and rather than when you boost a post, and I've got nothing wrong with boosting if there's strategy and thought behind it, but most of the times there's not. When you boost a post, you're essentially making an assumption that the content that you're putting out there is relevant to the audience that you're putting it out to. And more often than not, it's not. And so what we did there in that example, and what we do when we're optimizing any campaign, is we set the campaign up in a way where it's almost impossible for that campaign to fail. Because everything we're doing is structured in a way where we're testing to see whether our assumptions work. So when you run a campaign, you make one assumption, and that's the assumption at the beginning where we think this piece of content is going to work with this audience. After you've run that for like a week, everything you do after that is based on the data that you've received. So when you're setting up a campaign, the way to do it so that you really can't fail is by testing different audiences. So saying, I'm going to test my website traffic audience versus my email list audience versus people that have watched my videos versus people that have engaged with my page versus the interests around the industry, like all the authors around the fishing industry or the magazines. So you might come up with like 6-7 different audiences, and within each audience or within each ad set, we've got our different adverts, and we're testing. So we're testing different images with the ads. We can test different copy. So everything we're doing is so granular, almost scientific in a way that it can't fail, because we see that, okay, well, our website traffic audience is performing better than our general interest audience. So let's take a look at that and let's dive a little bit deeper. Which images are working best for our website traffic audience? And then we can start switching off the ads that aren't performing. We can reallocate ads to the ones that are performing. We might say image one is performing best, so let's try some different copy around image one. And you're continually making those optimizations as you go on. So you're making an assumption, you're setting up your campaign whereby you're testing different variables. And then once you've started and you've run that campaign, you're using the data that you receive back to make those optimizations, like reallocating budget, switching ads off, scaling budget.
Gavin, thank you for sharing those great insights on lowering our cost per action, again, whether it's email, subscriber, or click, because lowering those costs will allow you to reach more people with the same revenue that you're currently spending. And one of the questions that I love asking people is, and this goes beyond like any specific method or tactic for growth or anything like that, but this question is, what holds most people back from reaching their full potential?
Good question. And I think I've thought about this a lot, actually. And the thing that I'm thinking of right now is ego. I think we are all bound by this thing called ego, whether we like to admit it or not, where if it's, we want to create video content on YouTube, but we're not. It's tend to be because we're scared of what people will think, which comes back down to ego. A lot of our decisions in business and personal life are driven by our ego. And I think our ego can be a really powerful thing, an amazing thing. But at the same time, it can hold us back by normally fear and worrying what other people will think about us.
Gavin, thank you for that very deep insight on what you believe holds most people back. And ego is definitely, like, we all have it. Some people are better at concealing it than others, but we all do have a level of ego, and we do need to be able to, despite that, being able to push through fears and be willing to mess up on the way to success. And on the way to success, there are many challenges that we have to face. You organize, you having the Blue Cliff Media Facebook ad agency, you've obviously had to come through a lot of challenges. And I'm wondering, what is one big challenge that you faced along your journey and a powerful lesson you learned during that challenge?
Yeah, totally. So I think probably the biggest challenge that I've been through in the last few years, and bearing in mind, the business is quite young. I'm a young guy. I'm 23. But when I first started the business, biggest challenge was at that very beginning moment where you don't have any money. I was working, when I first set the business up, I was working in a call center. And so I was working on the business in the morning until 5 p.m. in the evening. And then I would go to the call center 5 p.m. in the evening till 9 p.m. in the evening and work. And then I'd get home around 10, go to sleep and repeat. And then at the weekends, I was working in the call center all day, Saturday and Sunday. And so that was a really hard time because I wasn't getting to commit the amount of time that I wanted to commit to the business because I needed the money to pay the bills. It was also a horribly, horrible job, a tiring job, not because it was hard, but just because it was so mundane. And so I thought that was a challenge getting through that few months where I had to do that. But the lesson I learned from that was really that a couple of things. Firstly, I feel like it gave me a level of awareness around, or maybe in hindsight, I've realized that it's all just part of the journey. You're gonna have horrible times. You're gonna have hard times. You're gonna have amazing times. And it's all just part of the journey. And I think you just have to really kind of learn to just enjoy everything that happens, whether it sucks or whether it's fun or whether it's good. And looking back on those days when I was first starting with the call center, although I didn't like it at the time, I can look back and kind of laugh at it and kind of fondly look back at it because it was the very early days where I was starting something which has turned out to be amazing. And so I think that the main lesson for me is having that awareness that everything, despite how bad it is part of the journey. And also the second part of that would be that it's all down to hard work at the end of the day. To get myself out of that place where I was working on the business and the call center just took hard work and a lot of sacrifices. For example, not going out to meet friends and family, not eating out, eating in to save money, all these different sacrifices I had to make back then to save money and to allow myself to get out of that place where I was working in a call center and running the business.
Gavin, thank you for sharing with us that powerful challenge and all the sacrifices you've made. I mean, you now have quite the very successful Facebook ad agency. So breakthrough success listeners, I know that we're all facing a different challenge in front of us, but if you put in the sacrifices like Gavin has, like we all have at certain points, that's going to lead you towards the goals that you wanted to achieve. I just wanted to drop that nugget out there for everyone because I feel like it's really important because we're all in those sacrifices. I mean, Gavin and I, like, we could be in the middle of certain sacrifices right now that we're making all to achieve a common objective. So thank you for sharing that powerful lesson you learned during your challenge.
No problem. Yeah. We're all going through our own struggles, whether they feel big or not to other people, whether other people think they're nothing in comparison to their problems. We all go through problems. We all go through struggles. And just like the name of the podcast, you just have to keep working, get your head down and break through that.
Gavin, I absolutely love that podcast reference. And in addition to a podcast reference, I would love if you could reference for us three great books that would help us to grow our businesses and help us with our mindsets. It could be like all of them mindset, all of them business, or a little mix, whichever books you want to share with us today.
Sure. So my number one favorite book is How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. So it's just a great book on learning about people. And I think as a marketer, and I think anyone listening to this can really benefit from just understanding people. What do people want and how do you give them what they want? I think the person that understands human beings the best is the person that wins. So that's a favorite book of mine. I'm also a massive fan of Crush It by Gary Vaynerchuk. It's a great book on how you can essentially create a career and do anything. You can create a career around anything by using tools that are openly available to us. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, these things all allow us to create multi-million pound businesses around the thing that we love and we're passionate about. And then the last book, I would say probably the book that I'm reading, or the book that comes to mind first because I'm reading right now, is the 4-Hour Work Week by Tim Ferriss. It's just it's laid on my bedside table for probably a year, and I decided to pick it up now going into 2018. One of the things I want to do is outsource a lot of the work that I'm doing that I don't actually really like to do, just some mundane tasks. And that book's a really good way of being able to think about, I mean, getting down to a 4-hour work week, let's be honest, isn't maybe the most realistic thing in the world, but some of the concepts and the theories and the tactics that he talks about enable to open your mind and to cutting down your working hours and not always having to feel like you're busy because you're meant to be busy as an entrepreneur. I think it's quite powerful. So I'm really enjoying reading that right now. But those three are my top three. But I would say How to Win Friends and Influence People is my favorite book of all time right now.
Gavin, thank you for sharing with us those great book recommendations. And before we get to the part where you can share with all Breakthrough Success listeners where they can find you on the web, I've been asking you a bunch of questions and you've been sharing some really awesome insights. But what is one question that you believe we need to be asking ourselves more often?
That's a very great question. And I'm going to link it back to, rather than making it personal, I'm going to make it about Facebook and the content that you create. And one of the massive things as a vlogger that I'm always asking myself is, why would somebody share this piece of content? And so I want you to ask yourself, if you're a content creator and you're creating content for clients or whatever it may be, ask yourself the question before you post that or before you create it, why would somebody that has no idea who I am share this piece of content? Because if you can't answer that question, the chances of it going viral or being shared or getting massive reach is very unlikely. And just to give you a little bit of context on that is, when I first started the vlog, it was very much a day in the life of me and kind of going through my life as an entrepreneur. And my friends and my family loved it because they got to see what I was up to. But it was very hard to get new people into, win new people into that audience, because quite frankly, if they didn't know who I am, why would somebody spend 5-10 minutes watching my life? And so I decided to then create my vlogs more, rather than about me, about other things. So like, I started creating content around things in Scotland because I know there's people that love Scotland already. So if I can hack the Scotland thing and get them interested in the videos through that, I know that they're going to have an interest in me regardless. And so my question when I'm posting content now is, why would somebody share this? Well, it might be because somebody loves Scotland and they want to share Scotland with their friends and family. So if you're creating content, if you're a content creator, I would say, ask yourself the question, why would a stranger, someone that's never heard of me and doesn't care who I am, share this piece of content?
Gavin, thank you for sharing that powerful question that we should all be asking ourselves so that our content can reach more people. And thank you for sharing all of your great insights throughout this episode of the Breakthrough Success Podcast. And before we put this episode to a close, just give us, just let us know where we can find you on the web.
Yeah, so I'm going to give you three places. If you want to follow me on social to have a chat with me, I mean a casual chat, to get in touch with me, to watch my videos, the vlogs that I do, you can find me on the handle at Mr. Gavin Bell on Facebook or Instagram. I mean, I'm everywhere, but Facebook and Instagram is my two favorite platforms. And then if you want to learn a little bit more about me, dig a bit deeper into the work I do, then you can go to my website, which is mrgavinbell.com.
All right, Breakthrough Success listeners, those links and the show notes will be at markgoberti.com/E75. Gavin, it was such a pleasure to have you on the Breakthrough Success podcast.
Dude, absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me.
To never miss an episode, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on whatever player you are using. If you are a regular listener and haven't done so already, I would greatly appreciate it if you could give this podcast a review or a rating. Two ways you could do this are through markgoberti.com/iTunes or markgoberti.com/Stitcher. That ends this episode. Don't forget, dream big, achieve greatness, and unlock your potential today.
Want your tweets to get retweeted to my 360,000 Twitter followers? All you have to do is say something nice about the Breakthrough Success podcast and include the link markgoberti.com/iTunes. Once you've posted that tweet, email me mark@markgoberti.com and I will retweet your tweet to my 360,000 followers.
This podcast is a production done by Mark Goberti. For more insights, head on over to markgoberti.com.